And what a beautiful day at the ballpark today as the Giants open up, as Dave said, their final homestand before the All-Star break. It's the Cardinals for three, the vaunted St. Louis Cardinals, and then the Washington Nationals, and then is the All-Star break. Giants in first place, 53-30, 83 games down, 79 to go. It has been quite a ride so far. Mark Simon joins us from Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and love having him on. We have so much fun with him. Mark, how are you today?
Good. It sounds like you're trying to run out the clock a little bit by saying 83 down, 79 to go.
Well, there was a point where we said, you know, there's 100 down and 62 down and 100 to go. So,
yep.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. But the All-Star break is sort of that traditional, let's take a deep breath and see where we are. And
yep.
The Giants really are 53-30. And, you know, as Bill Parcells said, you're a New Yorker. Eventually you become a New Yorker. But they said you are what your record is.
Yeah, and it gets to a point where I do think that you have to take it pretty seriously, especially at 83 games. They would have to have a pretty significant collapse to, you know, not even finish in the hunt for a playoff spot. But like, there's been some significant overachieving that you wouldn't have necessarily expected. The guy who pitched yesterday certainly being one of them, Desclafani. Tyler Rogers being basically unhittable would be another, and they've survived things like Belt going down. Lamont Wade comes in, steps in, and they have the thing that I have liked about the approach that Farhan takes is like there are these pieces that you can just plug in, like, okay, we're going to plug Ruff and Flores in versus lefties, and they're going to make us formidable versus lefties. And it feels like a very similar strategy to what the A's do and did. And it really works. Good for them.
Well, it's something that's happened in baseball for many decades. I mean, yep. It goes back to John McGraw. Casey Stengel did it exclusively with the Yankees and Hank Bauer and Gene Woodling. We had Earl Weaver doing it with the Orioles with John Lowenstein and then Gary Renicky. So it's nothing new, but when they produce, it really looks good because you say, here's one position, and you start to double those numbers, and it looks pretty good. Well, what about Desclafani? 8 2/3 last night. I assume Gausman will not be on the All-Star team. Your guy DeGrom will not be on there either. Desclafani, yeah. Is he a good fit? I imagine he would be.
Yeah, so it's funny. The All-Star starting pitcher list is pretty crowded. Like, there were some really good guys yesterday that didn't get taken. And I guess in my head I was thinking that there would be more guys that were taken than actually were. Because Scherzer wasn't taken, 2-1 ERA in 94 innings. Bueller wasn't taken, 2.35 ERA in 103 innings. Freddie Peralta from the Brewers, Yu Darvish from the Padres, Taijuan Walker from the Mets. That's like five guys right there that, like, you could probably make a case that Desclafani belongs in that group of, like, six, but you wouldn't necessarily put him at the top of that group. So I guess the natural thing that would be is if Gausman declares he's out, just replace him with a Giant. And then, well, then you have the option of him or Tyler Rogers, certainly. But here's the thing with the pitchers. There are 19 pitchers this season that are essentially starting pitchers in the National League that have, I think it's the National League, that have sub-3 ERAs. That's a lot of guys. Like, squeezing all those guys in is hard. I can understand why a lot of guys feel like they're snubbed today.
Well, you're exactly right. Mark Simon with us. That list is very impressive of the pitchers who are not included. But if Gausman doesn't go, how do you ignore 53-30 and a guy who, you know, could have 10 wins by the time this thing happens? What about Rogers, though? There are a lot of relievers on the staff. I'm not so sure Rogers gets picked.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, though. If anyone begs out, I think Kenley Jansen would be next in line. He's got, I think it's the same ERA basically as Rogers, 1.35, and he has 21 saves. So I don't think you can sneeze at that. I think he's legit to go. Rogers is kind of in that next best group, though, after Kenley Jansen. And I would think that if a guy or two goes down, that you could see him in. We're talking, though, there's TJ Antone from the Reds. There's a weird one. Ranger Suarez from the Phillies has great numbers. I feel like the guys that they picked were like legit, especially considering what you have to do to get one guy from every team. So I would say Tyler's got a shot, but he's not. I don't think he's first in line.
Is Diaz from the Mets? Is he in there?
No, the Mets were left with just DeGrom. So
how about that?
So Edwin Diaz would be another certainly formidable candidate. He's had a couple of little blips this year that push his numbers like into the not as good as Rogers range. His ERA is 2.8. You can look at other numbers. The strikeout to walks 4-1. He hasn't allowed a home run in 31 innings. So he's definitely like I still think Kenley is next in line, but. Diaz would be in that kind of that mix, depending on which way it would go.
Okay, very good. Hey, Darren Ruff, look, against left-handed pitching, I'm in a big home run for him last night. He did spend time, across the pond, as they like to say, in the Pacific. And he's come back, a former Philly. And let me tell you, he does damage to left-handed pitching.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you go back to – so if you take the 2 years that he's – back now, and then 2 years before he left for Korea, his slugging against lefties is like 600 something, which would put him in the top 6-7 guys against lefties if you bring the at bats down low enough. Like it's basically like an Arenado slugging percentage for him against left-handed pitching within this very small set of games. But it was funny when I saw that pitch that he hit out yesterday. I was like, that's basically a meatball for him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you couldn't have served it up any better. And I wanted to say something, too, about this, that home run. That home run impressed me more than some of the other ones that I've seen. And I know Slater has hit a bunch this year because it was – and Slater had one in the game, too. It was so far beyond that left field wall. It was like 70, 80 feet beyond that left field wall. And I just thought that was a really impressive poke that he took last night.
He's got to hit it home. It's a very important that he hit it home.
Yeah, and it's crazy that the home run splits for him don't make any sense. Like, he's like a shell of himself in AT&T. It's like, low 200s batting, no home run hitting. Everything for him has come on the road, which is just, I think that's just, like, Dave and I have talked about flukes sometimes. And I'm wondering if that's just a weird fluke because that'll figure itself out in the next couple of months.
Mark Simon with us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions does a great job. The Brewers, and you brought this up to me, and I used it on the show today, and I didn't realize it. The Brewers are challenging for the best record in the National League. They're not that far behind the Giants right now. They had won 11 straight before losing yesterday. How about the Brewers? They don't hit at all, but, man, that starting pitching, very good. And Hauser's in the group. He's in the group now, too.
Yeah, certainly with Woodruff and Burns and Peralta, and they've all been great. They took advantage a little bit of playing the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. That's how the streak started. They also had four with the Pirates that went very well other than yesterday, and they kind of buried the Cubs. They hit the heck out of the Cubs, 14 runs, 15 runs. One point to make with them, too, is they weren't as good of a defensive team last year. They just weren't as good. And that's odd for a Craig Council managed team. And now you add Wong and Bradley to the mix, and they are what you would think that they are. They're now a top seven, top eight defensive team in the sport, which is very good, which allows them to take the balls that aren't swings and misses and turn them into outs. And they're doing a good job of that.
How's Adamas at short?
He's always graded out like slightly above average, like a smidge above average. He's been very good on the offensive side for the Brewers. He's a little above average, I believe, on the defensive side for them since the acquisition. He's not necessarily like Superman, but he's certainly a solid shortstop, and he's been basically exactly what they could have wished for, I think, when they got him.
Boy, all right, the pitching matchup today. On one side, you've got the guy who could start the All-Star game. On the other side, you've got a crafty 32-year-old lefty that righties hit out of the park. How do you see this one?
So the thing I want to watch on Gustin tonight is the swings and misses against the splitter. Because the swings against the splitter. The Dodgers only swung at 9 out of 29 splitters. That's a completely different world from anything that we've seen from Gausman this year. Normally hitters swing like more than half. That it's not unusual for them to swing 50, 60%. In fact, the first time they faced the Dodgers swung at like every splitter. So I'm wondering if the Dodgers picked something up in tipping or just what something was odd with that game. And I'd be curious to see what it looks like in this one. Because the Angels, when he faced the Angels two starts ago, they swung at like 70% of the splitters. Dodgers didn't. So I'm curious to see what the Cardinals do. As for Kim on the Cardinals, not the same guy as last year. He used to have ownage in two areas, inside and up top, and neither of them the case this year. Hasn't been as good at either spot.
Mm. Cardinal bullpen has really been a problem. They walk the park, as they like to say. That's the issue, except for Reyes.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, the strikeout-to-walk ratio for this team is 1.8, and this is an era where strikeouts are being racked up. And walks are being given, but your strikeout to walk should be like 2.5 or better, and they're 1.8. They haven't had a strikeout to walk like that since 99. So the whole century, they've been much better than that. That's very un-Cardinals like. The bullpen, they've got Reyes, they have Gallegos, but all of these guys seem to have a bad habit of 4 walks per 9 or worse. They lost Hicks. They lost Andrew Miller for a time. I think that if they had those guys, it might be a little bit of a different story.
Mm. Well, the Giants love it. They love to walk and they love to foul pitches yep. off and they love to get on base. Mark, yep. Thank you so much for coming back with us today. I hope you had a good July 4th weekend and look forward to talking to you next week. This is really unfolding and we've got, as you say, 79 more games to go.
You got it. The stats never sleep.
Very good. Neither do you. All right.
Apparently.
Take care of yourself. Thanks, Mark. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. That is Mark Simon. Always a pleasure. All right. Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, is up next. We'll find out a little bit more about the things that Mark and I talked about and Arenado and Goldschmidt as well. Right here, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.